When the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame tomorrow inducts a new batch of honorees, there will be one notable absence. Guns N' Roses lead singer Axl Rose says he will not attend. It's just the latest example of the conflict among the founding members of the iconic L.A. rock band. Los Angeles was something of a music battleground at the time Guns N' Roses and another of this year's Rock Hall inductees, Red Hot Chili Peppers, were forming in the 1980s. From member station WCPN, David C. Barnett reports.
On one side was the raw, stripped-down sound of such punk rock bands as Black Flag, Fear, and X, who spun fast, hard stories for the city's street kids. As a teenager, Michael Balzeri was a big fan.
X was probably the one I loved the most. They really affected me powerfully in an emotional way. I was in love with them. I saw them every chance I got.
The kid who would one day be known as Flea and play bass for the Red Hot Chili Peppers would never have listened to such sounds just a few years earlier. He'd been schooled in the more sophisticated structures of jazz and classical music. But one day, he had a revelation.
Wait, hold on. Like, this doesn't matter how simple it is. It's the spirit and the emotional content. The feeling behind it is way more important, whether it's John Coltrane, Bach, or a two-chord punk rock band. And that changed everything for me.
Balzeri's Fairfax High School classmate Stephen Adler had his life-changing experience watching bands on the other side of the Los Angeles musical divide. These sounds were big and theatrical, with players sporting spandex, makeup, and lots of hair. The future Guns N' Roses drummer hung out by the stage doors of clubs along Hollywood's Sunset Strip, peeking inside at larger-than-life performers like Rat, Motley Crue, and Van Halen's David Lee Roth.
Diamond Dave, he was the king of rock. That's when I really went, that's what I want to do.
Well, they say it's kind of frightening how this younger generation swings. You know, it's more than just some new sensation. Well, the kid is into losing sleep, and he don't come home for half a week. You know, it's more than just an aggravation.
The rise of the so-called hair metal bands dealt a major blow to the local punk music movement, according to Tequila Mockingbird. That's the stage name of an actress, singer, and longtime observer of the Los Angeles music scene, who's now curator of the new L.A. Punk Rock Museum.
People wanted rock stars to come back. They had lost the rock star thing because the punk scene had destroyed all stars. That's what that scene was about. Like, we are the common man artist, as opposed to we are the rock stars, we are the gods.
Being a star was the last thing on Michael Balzeri's mind when he got together with some friends to form the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
I really got into being, you know, a band for the people, by the people, relating. Like, just when I was on stage, I just felt like I was at a party with everybody, and we were all going crazy, and we just happened to have the amps and the guitars and the microphones.
You can hear that on the band's first demo tape, which features a manic tribute to the Chili Peppers' hometown called Out in L.A.
Oh, L.A.'s the place, that's my mind blaze. For me, it's a race through a cotton picket maze. For you, it's a chase, but I lose you in the haze. And now you spend your days catching waves and you check to go out.
But on the glam rock side of L.A., Stephen Adler says his childhood dream of being a rock star took a hit when the Sunset Strip started getting crowded with hair bands.
We started out being a part of that whole glam scene because that's what was happening at the time, and that's what was cool at the time. But once it got to a point where it was just like every band was the same and sounded the same, we didn't want to be a part of that.
And yet, Adler, who speaks with a speech impediment as a result of a stroke, says GNR competed with those bands at every level.
Guns N' Roses had that. We want to be a great band and make great music and make a great record. And then all the girls and the drugs, that would just come naturally.
Welcome to the jungle. We got fun and games. We got everything you want. How do we know the names? We are the people that can find whatever you may need. If you got the money, honey, we got your disease. In the jungle. Welcome to the jungle. Watch it rain.
heavy substance abuse informed the music and the lives of both Guns N' Roses and the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Cocaine and heroin saturated the L.A. music scene of the 1980s. Tequila Mockingbird says it was devastating.
Half this town is in AA now. They're all in rehab. The whole town should be in rehab, but half of it is.
Rehab didn't come soon enough for Steven Adler, whose stroke came after a cocaine overdose, the result of a kid's illusions about fame in Hollywood.
Because that's what I thought you did. When you're a musician, a rock star, that's what you do. All our idols, like Alice Cooper, Steven Tyler, Keith Richards, those were people we looked up to, and they did drugs.
Adler's high school classmate Michael Balzeri says doing drugs was part of his Hollywood life, too.
I started when I was 11 and basically smoked weed most days until I was 30. And we got into harder drugs when we were 16, something like that. You know, it was just on.
And it turns up on one of the Red Hot Chili Peppers' hit songs about the contrast between the real L.A. and the dreams it likes to peddle.
It's the edge of the world in all of Western civilization. The sun may rise in the east, at least it's settled in a final location. It's understood that Hollywood sells Californication.
As kids, Michael Balzeri and Steven Adler fell under that spell. Both musicians claim they are living sober lives now, a little older, a little wiser, about the city that gave them their start. For NPR News, I'm David C. Barnett.
Space may be the final frontier, but it's made in a Hollywood basement.
And from NPR News, this is Morning Edition, produced by Nicole Beemster-Bohr and Nishant Dahiya. Our senior producers are Cindy Carpian, Barry Gordimer, and Jim Wildman. Senior supervising producers are Cara Tallo and Tracy Wall. Our executive producer is Madalie Kasicka. The executive editor of news programming is Ellen McDonald. Theme music, Jim Pugh, BJ Lederman. I'm Renee Montaigne.